Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Bigamex Radio Podcast. This is a very special episode. We are going to be focusing on sort of the reaction and review of the first round of the Super Motocross playoffs here in 2024, which happened at ZMAX Stadium, where they normally race drag races. And I'm sure anyone who normally races on that surface is probably just up in arms about dumping, oh, I don't know, maybe 700 loads of dirt onto the track, on a track that normally if they get a speck of dust, they like probably like red flag everything. But we were racing super motocross on that surface. I am joined, by motocross, supercross, and sometimes super motocross expert Andrew Hobson, all the way from down under. He took 10 minutes away from playing his didgeridoo to join for this podcast. Hoppo, how's it going?
Good, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. And before we get done with this podcast, we need to discuss something that I sort of just thrust upon you. I'm such a good friend, not only to you, but my good friend Nick, who he was for some reason going down to California for like 48 hours. He's like, I got nothing to do. And I'm like, who can I pawn? Like, it was either you or Jared Hicks. And I knew Hicks was just going to do nothing with him. So I'm like, all right, who do I know who's going to just make this kid have himself a day? So we're going to get to the bottom of that and the fact that he brought you beer and then drank it on you. Let's talk about ZMAX. Let's talk about round one of the playoffs. We did a little bit of a preview. And honestly, I think we basically just got turned it. Like, we got proven right. Let's talk 250s right off the hop. It was the Hayden Deegan show. The guy got two shitty starts and turned it into a couple of moto victories that, for all intents and purposes, he was uncontested.
I kind of predicted I would have liked to have seen a few guys be a little closer to him. But yeah, he just showed grit, speed, whatever you want to call it. I mean, his bike is good. Definitely stiffer than everybody else's. He can make it work. He can make it do whatever he wants. And he's just not afraid to swing off the back of it, I think, which is the difference.
Yeah.
I watched a few sections where, you know, the quad was amazing. That quad was worth a second every lap, pretty much. Like, he just nailed it lap after lap. And, yeah, kudos to him. He was definitely by far the best guy. Like I said, I would have liked to have seen other guys be a little closer, but I'm sorry, man. That was just the Hayden Deegan train on the weekend. You know, to know that you can come back from seventh, eighth, tenth in there, I think, at one stage in the first lap, and then just slowly pick him off, make the lines work for him. He had different lines to everybody else and could just make it work. I mean, I'd have to say that, you know, some of those 450 guys would be kind of sweating when he does step up, because I think, you know, similar to when Ricky and you know, Ricky was the king and James was coming through and Pastrana's like, man, we got to lift again, another level. How do we find it? I think some of those guys might have to do that soon.
Certainly. And like, there's a lot of urgency in Hayden Deegan's riding style, but the way he conducted himself in with that race, He rode without urgency. He you could tell he was in, like, a lot of people talk about how Hayden Deegan is sort of on the edge. He's ragged. He's kind of off the bike. Yes, on the surface, it may appear that way. But at the same time, I see an athlete that is in unbelievable amounts of control. Like, there were some spots in the rhythm sections where, like, it's so nonchalant where he's able to just absolutely just place the motorcycle and just execute the passes right when you can tell he has it planned. He knows exactly where in the lap he's going to make his move. And when he sees it, the opening, he pounces. And, there wasn't too many, riders that could really put up much defense. It was an absolute clinic. He gets a 1-1 performance out of that, and a little sizable points lead leaving, because, the next closest competitor, Juju Bomir, who ends up second, he's nowhere close in the points.
No, and you know, you look at him, Bomir, and it's like, where did that come from? Because all motocross season, he was, you know, inside the top 10 and was never really a threat. or never got close enough to be on a podium, and then all of a sudden he's on it. Was it a fluke? Was it his style of track? Or he's seen the click after the Nationals? I'm not too sure, but I definitely expected a little more out of Kitchen. And yeah, Shimoda was there for a little while. I mean, you can say he's come back off surgery or, you know, his collarbone, all that sort of stuff. But I still expected a little more out of those guys to be a little closer. But when you look at, you know, even Vial, like, you know, the last race he won was on the podium, then he was nowhere near it. So I don't, it's a little, I don't know. I don't know whether it's the track, they're not used to it, or I don't know what it is. It's hard to put your finger on it at times.
Yeah, certainly. And it's really, really impressive to see these guys step up. I don't know where that came from Juju, but I think it was a long time coming. And I think it was a sigh of relief for not only him, but the people around him. He's been working really closely with Davey Millsaps, yep. Who I would argue that Davey's probably in better shape today than he was during his entire pro career. He has completely turned that around as far as his management of his own fitness, as well as being able to bestow that knowledge onto others. He's been extremely effective doing exactly that. And it's starting to finally show with Juju. I was impressed to see what he was able to accomplish. I think he should be very proud of that. And a little bit of momentum for an athlete who is now sitting fifth in points for the championship. And, yeah, he's going to make some money on top of that.
I'd like to see him, you know, continue going into this weekend as well. I think it'd be really good for him to finish his season with that.
Yeah.
You know, kind of his second season. So it'd be good to see him. I'd like to see a repeat for him this weekend, that's for sure. I think that you'll see, you know, Kitchen and those guys will probably step up. I mean, Kitchen led it for a while. So, yeah, I think you might see a little different result, but I don't think you're going to see a different result in the winter.
Fair enough, yeah. I think that the top spot, I wouldn't say it's decided because we still have to race these races, but second and third in points being Tom Vial and Levi Kitchen, of those two guys, I think Vial is the guy who probably needs the get-right weekend the most. If he wants to stay in this fight, he gets, he's 17th overall or 17 points from the second, from the first round. And he was invisible. I never saw the guy, which is pretty alarming. But same thing for Levi Kitchen. Yes, he led some laps. But he needs to reassert himself before this sort of starts to just race away. Hayden now enjoying an 8-point lead.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, he was just solid. I mean, he was so good to watch. Like I said, his bike works good. The shock is just, it can handle whatever he throws at it, which is, you know, you look at that two ways. That's a good team.
Yeah.
Because they got guys on the podium. And when you have guys on both podiums out of the same team, on both classes, you're onto something, right? You're not like, hey, I got one guy here and we got one outside the top 10. I mean, you got two guys that are fighting for wins, which is always a good testament to a team that's got their shit together. So, yep. Like I said, it'd have to be a miracle for someone to charge and pass him. It would have to be something go wrong at a DNF or a crash or something like that to, I think, for him not to win.
Yeah, certainly. I think he's certainly put himself in a position where he's established himself among his peers as somebody who can be recognized as, like, he's the defending Super Motocross champ. And I think he has more pace and more control than anyone else in his class right now. I think there's guys like RJ Hampshire. They want a piece of the guy. I think Levi Kitchen wants a piece. Same thing with Tom Vial. But, right now, I don't think any of those guys have, the speed and the control that, that Hayden has right now. He's riding so free. He's riding so loose. You can just tell in his body language that this is not taxing, and he can flirt with that edge and just with full confidence. And that's a dangerous thing.
True. I mean, like RJ, you know, again, just the luck of RJ hitting the barrier. Could that have been a different result? I'm not too sure. I mean, you know, he set most of that series outdoors, still come back on the podium. You kind of think, well, what could have been if he didn't get hurt, or was that just RJ's lucky day? We'll never know. But I think that, it's going to be a tough two races for those guys trying to scratch their heads and figure out how to bridge that gap so quickly. I like the two moto format. I mean, it's
like 10 days from now, the playoffs are over.
Right. Yeah. There's two more races.
If you're going to figure this out, it's got to be yesterday.
Like, you're already thinking you're going to be on the beach in Hawaii here in 12 days, right?
Trying to recover. Your 72 hour long, off season that is motocross. We're not even going to get into that today. Yeah. Before we get to the support class, which was the 65 class, which I don't think I would have been able to hang a wheel with any of those kids, much less, place well. Things went from bad to worse for Triumph. Their playoff effort in year one lasted about 60 yards. And I think I'm being generous on that. What did you see? That was Jalik Swole. He has really inside gate pick. Hayden Deegan coming down the straightaway. They kind of come together a little bit, ends up with Jalik going down. I didn't see whether or not he was he obviously missed the rest of the night. I don't know if it's an injury that's going to keep him out longer. But yeah, 0 points on the night. He's now 17th in points. Not great.
Yeah, I mean, I did hear that he did get hurt pretty bad, but I don't think there's been any formal press release on that, on his condition, whether he can make this weekend or not. But unfortunately, that's the tough part of racing, where you're only down to one guy and your one guy gets hurt. That's a tough call. Hopefully he can make it this weekend. I mean, it's a lot of time and money and effort for the teams to attend these races, and it sucks to see someone out hurt and then not have that manufacturer represented in the playoffs. That's the shitty part, the sucky part of the sport, that, unfortunately people get hurt and there's no way around it. But hopefully he can make it back, because he has had not a bad season. Swole. He's had some good moments, and he's definitely put that on the box for him once or twice, I think. So, I wouldn't like to start next to Deegan, that's for sure. he's just the bulldog. He's coming through. He knows he's got it. He knows he's going to take it. And you're just filling in the blanks behind him.
He rides with, the confidence that, he can just lay it out there, and, good, bad, or otherwise, he'll be fine. Like, not that he'd be fine with the result, but I think there's benefit in the fact that, at the end of the day, at the absolute end of the day, does Hayden Deegan need the sport of motocross in order to lead a happy and healthy life and an affluent life after all the dust clears and all that? And the answer is absolutely not. The family is set up, and they're secure, and they've established themselves for probably some generations in the future. He now has the opportunity that if I go all in and I give this all I have, I can make my own legacy. And he's been doing exactly that. I think it's been really impressive. He talks a lot of shit. He backs it up every time. And that's got to drive his teammates and other races around even that much more.
Depending on how old you are, you can go back to the old Bob Hanna days, right? Because that was Bob Hanna.
He is Barry Hanna-ish, though.
Yeah.
Like,
very, call
ragged riding style.
Yep.
Passing out obituary cards for, who was it? Was it Howerton? Or no, Keith Bowen?
The some of the pranks he pulled with Roger, with the cutouts and in the motel rooms, and, he was a prankster in the day, but he could back it up, right? So
Keith Bowen. He literally came to a race with obituary cards because either Keith cross jumped him or I'm misquoting it. I'm getting them completely wrong. There's going to be some people in the comments being like, you're an idiot. But I know he handed out obituary cards for a particular racer one year. essentially saying like, yeah, this guy's already dead meat. So
yeah,
rest in peace. Let's talk 65s, the miniature machines. It's the only class where you see, Cobra being represented. They don't have a super mini and I don't think they have a 250F. So this is the only round of the playoffs. You're going to see those machines. And when it comes to the small bikes, they're dominant. Those things are little mini missiles and I love to see it. They're really cool looking.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've seen a post somewhere where, you know, nearly every one of those 250, 450 guys had been on a Cobra at one stage, right?
The only other motorcycle he's ever raced.
Yep. So yeah, it's good to see that. And it's good for them, for that company, you know, American made, and they're doing whatever they can to keep that 65 class alive, whether small wheel, big wheel, whichever way. And they're fast.
Have to be if they're jumping those types of jumps.
Man, I don't think I would jump that, but that kid definitely give it a shot and made it happen. That's for sure.
When I came down to you to see you and I drove away with a KTM 300 SX, I am now riding a bike with 235 cc more than that 65. And I wouldn't, if I even dreamt of jumping that jump, I would wake up in a cold sweat. Yeah, no thanks. And yeah, even that other double on the track and the fact that they're like doubling through the rhythm sections and stuff like that. It is really impressive to see what these kids can do. I'll say this, and I said this on a different, video that I did earlier this week on YouTube. I see this ruling as no different as a red flag. If you jump when the rest of the class can't jump, you're breaking the rules and you've been like you gained an advantage, you're going to be penalized for it. Is it cool that the kid jumped it? And at the end of the day, will more people the kid's gained over 10,000 followers on Instagram just this week. So clearly, even though he didn't win, he won and good for him. That's awesome. Ultimately, when it comes down to following the rules, you have to, and I guess you, in the case of Carter Gray, he decides, I'm jumping this damn thing. This is going to be awesome. And in at the end of the day, the results of the 65 support class at the first round of the 2024, Super Motocross playoffs, like no one's going to look back and be like, oh, that was the day that like, honestly, I don't even know the kids. Was it Case Brennan who won? I think when they sorted out the results, I don't even know who ended up taking home the final prize and all that. But you know what I mean? Like it really doesn't. Yeah, it was Chase Brennan who ended up winning. Carter Gray ends up taking third behind Joey Vaccari. But like, what was your take on that whole deal? Like the kid, obviously he jumped when he wasn't supposed to jump, was penalized before it because of that, and it's the way it goes.
Well, I don't know the whole story really. So they were all told not to jump it.
Yes. Prior to 10 minutes before, they were told, they don't want to have a red flag and they don't want to have any issues because of that jump. So it's off limits. No one's jumping that jump.
So someone, they must have sized it up earlier in the day and went,
they were jumping it during the
practice
press day and practice. And there's some kids who had some big ones. In fact, I think they might have had a red flag because of it earlier. So,
Yeah, I mean, I guess they are young kids, and I think at some point, you know, you never want to hinder a kid for being able to do that. But again, safety first at that age. You don't want to see someone cut short at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, right?
Yeah, and there were some other kids who also jumped it and they also got docked. Talon Hinson. He ends up essentially last because he had a couple of crashes and then he basically just said, screw it and jumped it anyway. Which again, cool. Like you're breaking the rules, but I'm sure he probably got a couple more Instagram followers out of it. Personally, rather than saying, hey, you can't jump that, I think they should have had like some sort of a chicane or like a cone to ride around
and slowed them down.
Or just have a permanent red cross flag on that jump the rest of the night. Like, right. Like, cause the, and you can have a red cross checkered flag. We literally saw that at, Super Motocross, did we not? When Jet Lawrence jumped on a, was it Jet? I think it was Jet.
Okay.
Yeah, Jet jumped on a red cross on the finish line when, I think it was the white flag that it actually, no, Plessinger. It was Plessinger who jumped. Yeah, he just didn't see it because it was just sort of hanging there. It wasn't being waved. Like, in my opinion, like, if I could have done anything differently or if I could have make a suggestion is I would have just had, a red cross being displayed the entire moto. Because right. that rule is cut and dry. No, like, that's wheels on the ground.
Yep.
So then I don't know why that wasn't communicated. Maybe they thought, all right, we've let everyone know that's enough. We don't need any more than that. So, yeah, that's all I really had to say about the 65 class. Cool to see Mason Murdy from Canada, racing that thing. The only Canadian in the lineup. He ends up 15th overall. Pretty cool.
Good. Yes.
And I can hear my dog losing his mind outside. So we'll run through the 450s real quick. I'm just going to say my piece the same way I said it before we hit record on this. If Jet Lawrence was rusty, everyone's in big trouble. And Eli came to play.
Yeah. I mean, Sexton said he had some bike issues, wasn't able to turn. And then Lawrence, yeah. I mean, he's just so good, right? But like I said earlier as well, it's like, gotta love Tomac.
Yep.
You know, he just come out, he got in the lead and put his head down. It was 6-8 foot roost everywhere he went. He was just like, give me more. Yep. And, you know, some with age and kids and all that, you know, people tend to, you know, slow down a touch. But, man.
Not Tomac.
It would have been awesome to see him not hurt throughout the year. I think we would have been in for some really, really, really good bar banging races where, you know, Jet is quite the opposite, right? Very light on his feet, fluid, bounces through stuff, a bit like Jeremy in the day. And Tomac's like, I'm a bulldog, man. Just give me everything you got and I'm just going to ride through it. So I love that about Tomac, just like gritting the teeth and just bite and go.
If Tomac and Jet were healthy throughout this outdoor season, it would have been Muhammad Ali versus Sonny Liston. It's float like a butterfly versus the brawler. And yeah. I think that would have been a great contrast to see kind of unfold. And honestly, who knows what we end up getting as far as a champion in that regard. Obviously Jet takes the win there. He's 4 points behind Sexton rolling into round two. This is double points. So, Sexton really needs to, if he's had some bike issues and hopefully by the end of the night, they knew where they wanted to go with it. Because as we said earlier on the 250 side of things, this series, these playoffs are over before they start. And they only get more, important as far as the points go as it goes forward. If Chase Sexton wants to win this championship, I think Texas might be every bit as important, if not more important, than Vegas.
For sure. I mean, like, you know, I think that, you know, go back a year ago, you know, he was still on the Honda. You know, so technically, you know, this is the part where it's like, okay, it's super motocross. It's motocross, but it's faster, but it's supercross, a little more jumps. It's like, you would think they would have enough data to work out where they need to be, but maybe they were just off a touch. And then this week he's going to come back and, you know, be right there because he was right there. I mean, he didn't ride good. It's just, you know, everyone has bad days. Whether that just was his bad day, I'm not too sure. But like you said, it's over before it begins to an extent. So this weekend's the one that, like you said, is more important than Vegas, really.
Yeah, like today is the 13th or 12th, I guess. We have press day tomorrow, Texas, 7 more days, done. Like we're less than 9 days away from the non-existent off-season that motocross exists in. So, like, there isn't time to go testing. Well, I guess there may be a day or two, but, like, I don't think what much can be gained in that sort of thing. We're talking clickers. We're talking maybe some minor adjustments suspension-wise. Like I said, hopefully, by the end of the day at ZMAX, they had an idea of, okay, we know what's wrong, or we know what we're feeling. We know what adjustments we can make rolling into next week so we can put ourselves in a better position. Because if they don't, it's going to be too little too late. Because like Jet Lawrence, clearly he is feeling very confident about his motorcycle. Eli Tomac is trying to make deposits on the moon with his rear tire, by spitting a mean roost. And, the rest of the field is clicking as well. So, it's a big weekend for Chase Sexton. I think this weekend is going to determine, a lot about, how this three round playoff championship, plays out. I think it's going to be important.
It sure is. And like I said, I mean, even Tomac, I mean, he's missed a lot of races as well. So you could probably chalk up the second moto where Jet passed him.
Still fourth in points.
He could bounce back and he could still go 1-1. I'm not going to say that he won't, but it's going to be a good show. That's for sure.
Hey, if he grabs a first place, that's 6 points right now. He is currently, he's 6 points behind, no. What is it currently? He's currently 8 points behind Jet. So say he goes 1-1 this weekend, gets 50 points. Jet is 6 points back. He would go into the last round, just 2 points behind Jet Lawrence, triple points. It's anybody's championship at that point. Just trying to play out devil's advocate or sort of like how things could shake out. Like Eli Tomac is not out of this by any means. In fact, anyone inside the top five has a legitimate chance at this championship, and that's one of the things I love about the playoffs.
One of those guys is walking away with $1 million.
That's badass. And yeah, they'll like if it's Eli, he will probably just like add some more cool shit to his ranch, and Jet will no doubt get more tattoos than he already has, which is fantastic for him. Sure. I'm curious, like, because he recently he's together, he's with like Jackson Chains or something like that, and he had like 1973 and 1975 on his fingers. Are we to guess that that's the years his parents were born?
Possible.
I can't think of any other reason why you would go with those years.
I was 71.
Are those culturally important dates in Australia?
No. That could be the age of his parents.
That's what the first thing that came to mind is like, because I don't want my parents. My dad was born in 56. My mom was born in 63. Like, I'm like basically a full generation older than Jet. I would venture to guess his old man probably either born in 73 or 75.
Yeah, well, I was 71, so I'm 53. So he's around my age, Darren.
Yeah. So Darren's probably
underage. Yeah.
That's what I guessed. If I'm reading the tea leaves whatsoever, that's probably what that is. I was surprised to see him get like hand tattoos, although he had something on his hand as early as this year. So hey, like, it's 2024 and anyone can do whatever the hell they want as far as
tattoos. Anything's possible, right? Anything's possible.
Certainly. We can't get off the podcast without talking about, and I teased this at the top of the show. A buddy of mine about a month ago says, hey, I'm going to California for like 72 hours, maybe. What can I do? What's cool to kind of check out? I'm like, well, you're going to go to Troy Lee, stop at In-N-Out on your way to, Pro Circuit. And then, yeah, like, I guess the rest is up to you. I passed this guy off on you, my buddy Nick. Love him. Nick Stefishin is a great friend of mine. Him and I grew up skiing and snowboarding together at a local hill. Yes, I live on the prairies, but we had a ski hill located about 5 minutes from where I currently live. I completely just passed him off on you. You were a gracious host, took care of him. I guess the floor is yours going forward. He's a complete nutsack, and a little bit of a liability at the controls of a motorcycle. Put up with him all the time.
I didn't know the guy. We text back and forth. He called me, and I'm all, yeah, sure, no problem.
You've spent more time with him than you've spent with me at this point, actually. Think about that.
Yeah, he come down, and then he was not used to LA traffic, that's for sure. It took him a little longer to get here than normal, but he did get his in and out, which he was happy with.
Until I broke down the Canadian exchange rate to realize that he'd spent $26 on two hamburgers, animal style.
Well, he made it up on the ticket, right? Because it only cost him $200 for the plane ticket. So then I set him up on down in the lounge room on an airbed, and I come down the next morning and I'm all, where is he? Well, he'd pushed the airbed over by the back sliding door and opened it up and slept by the back door with the back door open all night. I'm all, dude, you all right? Goes, yeah, man, I just like the outdoors. And I'm all, there you go. He said he was getting a little hot, and I'm all right. Where you go?
Okay.
So then we got out. We were going to go ride Kahia, but we're on the way out there, and we've had a lot of obviously forest fires, bushfires. So yeah. the road was shut.
On fire.
So, we had to make an alternative plan, and he rode Elsinore yesterday afternoon. Blue Groove, dry, hard packed, not a lick of moisture anywhere.
Stapo's favorite track.
True, true. So yeah, he had fun. He went to AEO and got some stuff there on a deal and Pro Circuit and Troy Lee and Asterix. So he went through KTM, seen all that. So yeah, he had a good time.
Cool. Love
Fox,
it.
Fox this morning.
He went to the Fox headquarters. That was probably the only place he went where he was allowed to take photos. He made more mention about the fact that he's like, I'm not allowed to take pictures anywhere. I'm like, yeah, you're in restricted areas, you fucking idiot. you're not allowed to take pictures of, Mitch Payton's, like, back desk where he has been honing cylinders for the last 25.
You know, it's just a little bit of respect there as well.
Yeah, of course. He unfortunately didn't have the pleasure that I had when you gave him the same tour, about 8 months ago, where I actually saw Roger DeCosta working on a lathe. Like, in my mind, if I'm thinking about what Roger DeCosta is doing right now, he's in a dimly lit room with his eyes fixated on some strange part that he's creating for a KTM at a lathe, and he's working away and doing his thing. And then I walk by, and he's doing exactly that.
Yeah, so it's not really looks up and he goes, yeah.
He kind of just gives me this like 79-year-old wave.
Yep.
Please don't talk to me. And then, yeah, I love it.
There he goes. Yeah, he just turned 80 the other day, and he did an 80-mile bicycle ride for his 80th
birthday. That's insane.
Yep.
That is an absolute insane. And of course, you went to Pro Circuit, which I would send Schneike a fruit basket, but I think a case of beer is probably more prudent in that case. I don't know if he did like the full tour, the upstairs where I got to go.
I'm not too sure. I think he did. I knew they were busy, but Schneike did take the time to walk him through and show him the majority of the stuff.
Nice. He gave a high five to Troy Lee at some point. So he had a big day.
He had a big day. He was definitely a super fan, but he come around at the end of the day.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. And yeah, he got to spin a wheel in California, which like even like the times that I've gotten to ride in California, the first time I rode down there was 2010 in, I guess that would have been March of 2010. I went to, this was back when like this is, I'll date myself on this. This was back when Milestone Supercross track didn't even have a fence around it. It was just in the parking lot.
Yep, in the corner.
Yeah. And that's also where I met Jam and Josh Faries and his parents back when he was like knee-high to a grasshopper, when his parents were running, MX Pro Parts, I guess it was back
then. Okay. All right.
I appreciate you and your hospitality, giving him an air mattress so he could sleep outdoors or whatever the fuck he did. Nick is an interesting guy, to say the absolute least. But love him all the same. And I appreciate
he's a good guy. Welcome anytime.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to doing the exact same. because right now I could do some quick loosey goosey math, but I think it's about, I'm 25 days into 75 hard. And I know that 75 hard, I essentially started it to be basically like elapsing on the day after World Vets. And, yeah, so that means we're about 50 days out right now.
Yep.
From the World much. Vet Championships. It is November 3rd. You and I talked to John Anderson, got our entries taken care of. We're good to go. I think we're going to have Sage Voda from First Form as well. And we are going to create the first chapter of some Andrew and Brad moto adventures of awesomeness. It's going to be so much fun. I'm racing plus 30 intermediate. Someone was like, you got to race the expert class. I was like, go fuck yourself.
No, you because don't want that.
It's different. Like the guys who race in the pro class are actual like ex pros.
Right.
And then the guys who are in the expert class are guys who, am I frozen right now on the screen?
Yep. You're back now.
Yeah. The guys who raced in the expert class are guys who either didn't score points at nationals or like they were making like fast 40 and not making the night show, or they didn't make the night show in supercross, but they're still crazy good on a dirt bike.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So like
so many fast guys that show up for that race. It's unbelievable.
Right. So just based on sheer numbers, I'm not going to assign myself for the novice class.
No, you're above that.
Come on. But I respectfully think that I will be somewhere mid pack in the intermediate class. Maybe surprise myself with a top 10. We shall see. Who knows? I'll be riding for the first time in, I don't know, about a decade. I'll be on a 4-stroke, which will take me about 3 seconds to get used to, because the last time I rode a 4-stroke, I think I went, about 10 seconds a lap faster than I do on my 250 because you just leave it in third gear and it's just the easy button everywhere. I love it. Like I realized then I rode a 2000. It was a 2015, Cowie 250F was the last 4-stroke that I rode a bit. And I'm like, this thing is so much easier to ride. Like, I make my life a lot harder by riding 2-strokes. Oh, yeah. I love it.
I do too. That's why I do
it. And it keeps me in check, honestly. Like, and like, it keeps me in check from not just like riding way over my head. The 250, the 300 rather, is just the perfect bike for me. I absolutely love it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to riding that 350. And, me and Sage are going to have to rock, paper, scissors to see whose number is going to go on it.
All right. We'll do that.
Maybe the 95, to be honest. Sorry, Sage. 16's got to go. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And, okay. You're going to be in the plus 70 class, you said?
Yes, plus 70, something like that this year, maybe, if they'll let me in. 50 expert. So we'll be good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Glen Helen World Vet's always a good time. 3 days.
I remember the first time I rolled up to Glen Helen with my buddy Adam back in 2010, and we just looked up the hills, and we were like, what the hell?
And that weekend, the time changes.
Yes, it always does on my week. It always on my birthday weekend.
Yep. And it's hell going up those hills at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun setting.
Because you're looking straight into it.
Yep. And you just got the visor down. You're trying to block out the sun. You can't see the holes. It gets pretty sketchy going up there.
Oh, for sure. So. And I don't want to like besmirch the good name of the World Vet Championships in any way, but I know damn well that there are guys who show up and race like the plus 40 novice who, I will not kid you, they're like guys like my dad who have the goal of riding the World Vet Championships. They don't ride all year. We're talking like maybe double digits hours on a dirt bike, maybe single digit hours on a dirt bike.
Sure.
In the calendar year. And then they sign them up some World Vets and like their buddies peer pressure them into going. And those braking bumps start at the top of the hill.
And it's the same with Day in the Dirt. You'll get the guy that races one race a year and he's going the Day in the Dirt.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do coup de grace and just you can't see the other side of the bumps.
Love it. This was originally scheduled for an hour. I think for 30 minutes. We did an hour. So good for us, I suppose.
Yep.
If it was a workout, we'd probably be feeling more satisfied by it, but always a good time to talk to you. I know you are getting a website going. But if someone's looking for some online coaching, some fitness advice, you're still available through your
yeah,
email.
For sure. Yeah, my website is hoppofit.com. You can reach me there. We can chat. There's a little bit of information there. Website is still a little under construction, or hoppo on Instagram. And trying to post more content, more information, just to, you know, help people out. But if you're looking for some coaching or advice in any way, just reach out and I'll be glad to talk to you.
Awesome, my friend. Well, you have a great rest of your night. You're 2 hours before me, so it's probably dinner time. So on my end of things, I'm going to go let my dog in, and then I'm going to go out and grab probably some steaks to fire up the grill before midnight. And
there you go.
Yeah, we're going to have ourselves some extra protein before bed. Hoppo, always a pleasure. Never a chore, man.
Thanks, sir, Brad. Talk to you soon.
Cheers. Bye.
Welcome to Best 42 in the land. All ages from kids up to grown men walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be in Hurricane Mills, Tennessee? Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the whispering. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Times this one week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. Golf carts, pit bikes, and rowdy fans play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. The 30-second card's on its side.
It's time to get on.
Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wheel spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together three times, this 1 week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch.